Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Christian Research Institute President Hank Hanegraaff. Our mission at CRI is not only to equip you with Christian doctrine, apologetic accuracy, and discernment, but to help you become a faithful apprentice of Jesus Christ because life and truth matter. If you'd like to know more about CRI and the Bible Answer Man broadcast, call 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or go to our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thanks very much, Randy. We'll go right to the phone calls. First up is Robert, Aztec, New Mexico. Hi, Robert.
Hello. How are you doing, Hank?
I'm doing well. Good talking to you.
That's good. Before I ask the question, I want to thank you for taking my call. I don't know if you remember, I called you and was talking to you about my step-granddaughter that was put into a coma by her biological father at 5 years old. And they were talking about pulling the plug and letting her go, and you informed me the biblical reasons why not to do that. And make a long story short, we didn't do that. Went down, prayed for her, and prayed for her healing. I left the country for 5 weeks. When I came back, she was awake.
Oh, my goodness.
Praise God.
Blessings to the Lord. Oh, what a wonderful testimony.
Yes. Anyway, to my question, can Satan, the enemy, physically make a person sick with illnesses or diseases?
You know, that's a good question, and the answer to that question is simply that Satan cannot interact in the physical world. He's non-physical, but when someone gives themselves over to the Prince of Darkness and his minions, there are consequences, and those consequences can manifest not only physically, but metaphysically. So to the extent that you give yourself over to the principles of the Prince of Darkness, you suffer the consequences. Now, we can't always tell where the consequences come from, whether it's the world, the flesh, or the devil, but we know that there are consequences, and again, those consequences can often be physical. By the way, by way of analogy, we even know this from the perspective of taking communion in an unworthy manner. Paul gives strict instructions with respect to communion, and he says, if they're not followed, some of you have gotten sick, and some of you have even died. So there are consequences to sin, and sin, of course, is manifest in the extreme when we give ourselves over to the Prince of Darkness and his principles.
Yeah, I was wondering, because I've been a Christian since 2002, and you know, I've had all kinds of problems before as a Christian, but I'm still having problems as we speak. So, but I just think myself is just God is allowing this to happen for a reason. I don't ask him why. All I ask is for him to walk me through these storms.
Yeah, and that's a wise thing to do because Christianity doesn't give us a peaceful way to come to terms with the maladies of life. What it does instead is gives us a way to overcome them or to have peace in the midst of them by looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwells righteousness, where there'll be no more death, mourning, crying, or pain. Also, I think wise that you recognize that God doesn't always answer the why question. What he does is he teaches us to trust him in the midst of our why. So he's given us enough information about his nature so that we can trust him. One day, all our whys will be answered, but not necessarily so in this lifetime.
Yeah, and a lot of our whys we won't care about then because we'll be with him. So, all righty, Hank. God bless you, brother, and thank you very much.
Well, thank you, and thank you for that wonderful testimony. Made my day.
Absolutely. I think that's my first miracle that I've seen.
Glorious.
We'll see you, brother.
Thank you for your call. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Karen, St. Louis, Missouri. Hi, Karen.
Hi. I have been speaking with some Jehovah Witness people who stopped by my house, and now they've been coming about once a week, so I've been sharing Jesus with them. And I know you've addressed this a lot before, and I seem to just miss your answer right as I'm driving home from work. Is there like one thing I can say that would give them this light bulb experience so they'll know what I'm trying to share with them?
Well, not necessarily, but you can be an effective witness. And I think what's critical is that we are ready always to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within us, with gentleness and with respect. So my premise is that the real issue is not evangelism, but equipping for evangelism. If you're prepared, God will give you opportunities. Your responsibility is to be an effective tool in the hands of the Holy Spirit. It is the province of the Holy Spirit to change the heart. Now, in terms of effectiveness with respect to Jehovah's Witnesses, I think it's important to start with the main and plain things. And there's nothing more main and plain than the nature of Jesus Christ. Virtually every single theological heresy begins with a misconception of the nature of God. So you should start with the mother of all questions, and that is, who do you say that I am? From a biblical perspective, Jesus is the one who spoke and the universe leapt into existence. He is the creator of all things. From the perspective of the watchtower, Jesus Christ was himself created and then becomes a junior partner in the creation of all other things. In fact, from a perspective of the witnesses, even during his earthly sojourn, Jesus Christ wasn't even God. So he was the archangel Michael. He became a mere man. And then after his death, he was recreated an immaterial spirit creature. So you want to stick with that subject first and not go off on a lot of rabbit trails. But what I like to do is to use the acronym doctrine whenever I witness to people involved in the kingdom of the cults. And the reason is that way I can take the essentials of the historic Christian faith and use them as springboards for countering the deviations, or using them to take the deviations as an opportunity for sharing the truth and grace and love that only Jesus Christ, the Jesus Christ of the Bible, can bring to the human heart. That acronym, by the way, has to do with the deity of Jesus Christ, the D. The O is the doctrine of original sin. The C is the canon. The question there becomes, what is your authority? We say the authority is the Christian canon, the Bible, the infallible repository of redemptive revelation. For the Watchtower organization, it is the Watchtower and their mistranslation of the Bible, the New World Translation. And then the T stands for Trinity, the R, resurrection, the I, incarnation, the N, new creation, we're new creations in Christ, and the E, the biblical view of eschatology, the fact that Jesus will appear a second time and put all things to right. So that's the grid I use. I take essential Christian doctrine, and then I compare that with the deviations of the Watchtower organization in this case.
Okay. Thanks so much. I really appreciate that.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call. I want to go back to the phone lines now and talk to Alan. He's listening in Kansas. Hi, Alan.
Hey, hello there. Thanks for taking my call, Hank.
Pleasure.
Hey, I've got a question. As you know, a lot of the movies that come out on TV and at the movie theater, to me, they seemed awful satanic. Can a person that's unsaved allow a demon to come inside of them by watching these movies like The Conjuring and other movies? And then also reverse that question, can a person that's saved allow a demon to come inside of them by watching those type of movies? I wouldn't think a saved person would even be watching those, but that is my question.
Yeah, well, if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, if you have an intimate personal relationship with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the Holy Spirit indwells you. In other words, your temple is the temple of the Holy Spirit, and therefore your temple will never be shared with a demon. Now, it is certainly true that demons can tempt you to lie, to cheat, to steal. They do, as it were, sit on our shoulders and whisper into our ears. The whisper cannot be heard with the physical ear, but it certainly can penetrate the ear of the mind. You can be impacted by bad theology, but it's not as though you can be possessed by a demon. Jesus makes an airtight case against that. If someone wants to plunder a strong man's possessions, he has to first bind the strong man. In the case of a believer, the strong man is the Holy Spirit, or God himself, who indwells you, and perish the thought that Satan could ever bind God. So as Christians, you cannot be demon-possessed. But as a non-believer, you can give yourself over more and more progressively to the ways of the kingdom of darkness. Ultimately, from a biblical perspective, there are only two kingdoms, the kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness. And to the extent that you develop intimacy with the Lord of Lords and King of Kings, you become a light. You become ever more a light bearer. But the opposite is true with respect to the kingdom of darkness. To the extent that you give yourself over to those principles, you become more and more impacted by Satan's kingdom. And you could say you are more and more possessed of Satan in that sense. I've written about this in my book, The Covering, God's Plan to Protect You from Evil. God's plan is never exorcism. It's always exercising the spiritual disciplines, putting on the full armor of God. Be right back with more answers.
The famous British apologist G.K. Chesterton once noted, "The true soldier fights not because he hates what is in front of him, but because he loves what is behind him." Because at CRI we love what is behind us, our faith, our families, and our freedoms, we will never retreat quietly from the growing assaults on life and truth. Even when the costs are great, we will stand. To join like-minded friends in making a difference at home and around the globe, and to equip fellow believers to stand their ground courageously, become a member of CRI's support team. Simply call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI, or visit our website at equip.org. Stay with us. Hank Hanegraaff will return in a few moments. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition is the comprehensive collection of the most often asked questions Hank Hanegraaff has received throughout his four decades as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. With more than 500,000 copies already in print, this newly revised and expanded Collector's Edition helps seekers and skeptics alike sort through the truth on topics such as reliability of the Bible, religions and cults, the resurrection and afterlife, and many more issues vital to a better understanding of God in Christ and our relationship to Him. To receive your copy of the Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Expanded, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit us at equip.org. Bertrand Russell famously said, "Most people would rather die than think, and many of them do." Not so with CRI support team members. Support team members are not only serious thinkers, but their membership in CRI's support team helps to equip hundreds of thousands of fellow believers around the globe each and every month. Are you not a member? Then you're missing out. Not only do support team members form the backbone of Christian Research Institute's outreaches, but they enjoy their selection of resources from our Equipping Essentials library. To discover how you can make a difference 24/7 in equipping believers at home and abroad to stand for life and truth, check out the benefits of membership at equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org.
Truth Matters, Life Matters More by Hank Hanegraaff is essentially two books in one. Because Truth Matters, Part 1 equips Christians to defend the essential truths of the historic Christian faith. In Part 2, Hank explains why life matters more and how we can experience the height of human existence, union with God in Christ. Simply put, the map is not the territory. The menu is not the meal. We cheat ourselves of authentic union with Christ when we elevate the message above the Messiah. Truth Matters, Life Matters More is a modern classic and the magnum opus of one of the great theological minds of our time. To receive Truth Matters, Life Matters More, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift in support of the life-changing work of the Christian Research Institute. That's 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org.
Pastor Martin Niemöller spent the last 7 years of Nazi rule in concentration camps. Reflecting on the camps where millions would die, Niemöller said, "First, they came for the socialists, and I did not speak out because I was not a socialist. Then they came for the trade unionist, and I did not speak out because I was not a trade unionist. Then they came for the Jews, and I did not speak out because I was not a Jew. Then they came for me, and there was no one left to speak for me." To ensure that your voice is heard and that someone is speaking for you, become a member today of CRI's support team. Simply call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit our website at equip.org. Here again is the host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Let's go right back to the phone lines. Talk to Cecile in Charlotte, North Carolina. Hi, Cecile.
Hi, Hank. Thank you so much for taking my call.
My pleasure.
There's a portion in Genesis where it talks about the sons of, and forgive me, I don't have the Bible right in front of me, but it talks about the sons of God finding the daughters of men attractive. And then it talks about some sort of giants or Nephrodites, I think is the word that they use, being existent on the earth. So I just wanted to hear what your perspective was as far as what you think that meant. Some theories that I've heard are that, you know, possibly Hercules and Zeus and all those Greek mythological gods might be a production of what Genesis is talking about. But I just wanted to hear what your thoughts are.
No, this has nothing to do with that. What it has to do with is judgment that comes as a result of the iniquity of humanity, and therefore you have within the context of Genesis chapter 6 the notion of judgment through the flood. A lot of people take sons of God and read all kinds of untoward meanings into that phrase. And the reason is they violate a basic principle in the art and science of biblical interpretation. What they do is they take a word or a phrase and they always pour the same meaning into that word or phrase. And that's not how we should read the Bible. Words and phrases in the Bible are not univocal. They are equivocal. They take on the meaning that the context allows them to have. So what you have, and I've actually written about this in the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, but what you have here is the commingling of godlessness from the progeny of Seth and the progeny of Cain. And as a result of that, you have iniquity multiplying in the world such that God decides in his own providence and for his own sovereign purposes, to destroy the world with a flood, and to start over, as it were, with the eight who are saved in the midst of the waters of the flood.
Okay. Thank you for that. That's just been something that I've been struggling with, and I just wanted to hear your opinion on that. And again, thank you for taking my call.
You are entirely welcome. Appreciate your call. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Robert in Jacksonville, Florida. Hi, Robert.
Yeah, my question was, The seventh day, the Sabbath day, would be on a Saturday. So why would most worship be done on Sunday?
Well, because we recognize the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and it is in his resurrection that we find our Sabbath rest. And that's why the early Christian church changed the day of worship. It is to place the proper emphasis where it ought to be, because from the perspective of the early Christian church, the most dangerous snare is to fail to recognize that Jesus is the substance that fulfills the type and the shadow. And again, it is through Christ that we have our Sabbath rest. It was through his resurrection on the first day of the week and the descent of the Holy Spirit that the impetus in terms of the flow changes to the first day of the week in honor of the resurrection. And again, we're not called to be slavishly bound to Old Testament civil and ceremonial laws. I mean, if we were, anyone that did any work on the Sabbath would have to be stoned to death. But these laws are abrogated because they pointed to something, and that something, indeed, that someone has come and fulfilled everything that came before. And therefore, he is the one that didn't abolish the law and the prophets, but fulfills them. In honor of his fulfillment, we worship on the first day of the week.
Gotcha. I appreciate it.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Mark, Tulsa, Oklahoma. Hi, Mark.
Hello. How are you?
Good, thank you.
Good. You were talking about the demons not being able to manifest inside humans. But my sister had went to a birthday party, and she only knew the girl that she went with. And they had a medium or whatever it was there, and talking to the dead, and the lady stopped, did not know my sister at all, walked up to her and said, you have a brother that was close, then he was way out, and now he's back, and that was me. And that she knew she was talking about it and didn't know anything about me. Then she says, your dad's name was Bill, and she started talking to him. And she said he was sobbing and saying that he was sorry he was never there for me and all this, which is dead on. And my sister had never seen these people, so she couldn't have given them any information. And I wonder what you... It's really got me baffled, because I really don't believe in that stuff.
Right. Well, you know, this is what's called cold reading, and good mediums, good stage hypnotists, good magicians do it all the time. And I mean, I, over the years, have had good friends who were very adept at these things, and, you know, just for the fun of it, I'd have them do some cold reading on my children who would be so freaked out, they'd say, no one could have known that about me, and they don't realize that they were telegraphing things about themselves in various ways. But sometimes the medium or the stage hypnotist or the magician does some research ahead of time. That's another possibility. I can't unravel every anecdote, but I can tell you that it is sleight of mind very much in the same way that a magician does sleight of hand. And when you see the sleight of hand, if you don't know how the trick works, you think it is impossible. You know, someone takes a dollar bill, you look at the serial number on it, then they rip it right in front of your eyes, so to speak, and then they put it back together again. How in the world's that possible? Well, trust me, I know exactly how it's done, and it is sleight of hand. You think that it's miraculous, but you kind of intuitively know that it's not. This is the same thing that's going on with mediums. I can't, again, unpack every anecdote, but I can tell you that's the basic principle.
Okay, so there's... Because I've heard before that it was like demonic angels coming in, black arts and all that, allowing them to do that.
No, it's not really what's going on at all. You know, Satan cannot read your mind. He can influence your thoughts. And by the way, the thing that I said earlier, just for a quick clarification, I'm not saying that people cannot be possessed. I'm saying that Christians cannot be possessed, because by definition, their temple is the temple of the Holy Spirit.
Right. Okay. Well, great. That helps a lot, Dan. And it was a pleasure talking to you.
Nice to talk to you as well. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Tim, Kansas City, Missouri. Hi, Tim.
Hi. How are you? Thanks for taking my call.
Pleasure.
I have a question. It's in the Gospel of John, 4th chapter. The Samaritan woman at the well and Jesus, the conversation. And in verse 12, she responds to Jesus and says, "You are not greater than our father Jacob, are you?" So my question is, since Jews and the Samaritans didn't have anything, I guess they looked down on the Samaritans, she calls Jacob her father. So didn't the Jews call Jacob their father also?
Well, yeah, but there's a lineage there that is recognized by the Samaritans as well as by the Jews. Remember, the Samaritans are a function of the northern kingdom decimated by the Assyrians, and some of the Jews were left in the land, and they intermarried with the Assyrians that were brought into the northern kingdom, and that became the Samaritans. So those would also be a people looking back to Jacob as their father, although rather than worshiping in a temple in Jerusalem, they concluded that Mount Gerizim was the proper place for worship.
And Mount Gerizim is closer to Samaria, isn't it?
Yeah, and that was their place of worship, their preferential place of worship. But again, the lineage is traced back in the same way by the Samaritans. The Samaritans were looked down at because they were considered to be, as it were, half-breeds, and therefore they're oftentimes demeaned as being dogs and the like. But the reality is they themselves traced their lineage back to Jacob because they intermarried with the Syrians, but still had that lineage or genealogical relationship.
Okay, good. That was it. Great. Thank you very much.
You got it. Thank you for your call. And with that, we're out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Our contact information as we close the broadcast today on the web, it's equip.org. Via the mail, it's Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And if you're calling our resource consultants, they're standing by at 888-7000 and the letters CRI. Thanks for tuning in. Look forward to seeing you next time, God willing, with more of the broadcast.
We appreciate you tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Before we sign off today, here's our contact information. By phone, dial 888-7000-CRI, which translates to 888-7000-274. On the internet, go to equip.org. That's equip.org. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina. The zip code is 28271. Our prayer is that today's broadcast has equipped you to better defend your faith and encouraged you to pursue sound doctrine and godly living. Thank you for listening. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition is the comprehensive collection of the most often asked questions Hank Hanegraaff has received throughout his four decades as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. With more than 500,000 copies already in print, this newly revised and expanded Collector's Edition helps seekers and skeptics alike sort through the truth on topics such as reliability of the Bible, religions and cults, the resurrection and afterlife, and many more issues vital to a better understanding of God in Christ and our relationship to Him. To receive your copy of the Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Expanded, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit us at equip.org.